Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Hey, what's going on, Vintage Faith family? It's so great to, you know, be with y'all again this morning. And wherever you're watching from and however you're watching, whether on Facebook Live or YouTube, I want to take this time to express my humble gratitude for your presence with us during our Sunday streams. And can I just say, I know it's not the same as fellowshipping in person, but I think it's amazing how the church at large has flexed to make the Sunday experience possible despite this worldwide pandemic. The team here specifically has done a fantastic job at ensuring that we all get an immersive Sunday experience as much as possible so that when we do get back to physical gatherings again, and we will be back to gatherings soon, but when we do get back, we won't miss a beat. Yeah, so props to our entire team that makes this whole experience possible. And for those of us who were able to attend last Sunday's outdoor worship gathering, wasn't that phenomenal? Wasn't it amazing to be able to worship God together in the same place under God's beautiful Los Angeles skies? Yeah, can y'all type out some love for the Sunday team in the comment section? Take a moment to show your appreciation and even find some ways during the week to thank the team for all of their hard work and dedication to make all of this possible. Amen. All right, today we're continuing our six-week series called Life with Jesus. And we're ultimately looking at different aspects of life, no matter how blissful or challenging they may be. And we're looking to be reminded that Jesus is with us through it all. In other words, as Pastor Matt mentioned when we kicked off this series a couple of weeks ago, we all need a fresh revelation of what it really means that Jesus is with us. And one area that I want to talk about today that many people deal with, and something that's all too familiar for me specifically, and maybe you might be dealing with it right now, especially in this pandemic, but it's this area and reality of anxiety. Anxiety, again, especially during the course of this pandemic, I've noticed in myself and in other people, has skyrocketed to seemingly all-time highs. Anxiety truly is a real problem in our world. And just because we have Jesus, just because we believe in God, and just because we have the Spirit of the living, and listen, I want to stress the living God residing in us, it doesn't mean we as believers are exempt from being anxious about the various aspects in life that tend to tip us over the edge. Now, I don't care who you are, whether you're a pastor, a Christian, a non-believer, a male or a female, a diehard Lakers fan, for that matter, even a Clippers fan, the problem of anxiety is ubiquitous. It's everywhere. And I love how Brian James touched upon the opposite side of anxiety, meaning what if anxiety truly was our body's warning system trying to tell us that it's time to assess where the real danger is coming from so that we can respond in wise and biblical ways. Brian James also said our internal warning systems can also clue us into where God is during those anxious moments, giving us the peace and confidence that we need. You know, speaking of which, both our foremothers and forefathers in the Bible have also dealt with anxiety as much as we have and still do today. And they have so much to say that we can glean from when it comes to dealing with anxiety in our lives. So, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. And as you're turning there, let me paint a picture of what we are about to read. The prophet Elijah, in one word, is phenomenal. His name literally means, "My God is the Lord." Elijah is probably one of the most interesting and most vibrant and most colorful people in the Bible. And God, he uses Elijah during an important time in Israel's history to oppose a horrible king in King Ahab. And God, listen, God eventually uses the prophet to bring revival to Israel. How many of you want to experience God's revival this morning? Yeah? Lord knows we truly need his revival in our lives today. And Lord knows We all need to experience his revival, especially in such a crazy, messed up time right now. Now, just moments before the verses we're about to read, Elijah's tenacity for God eventually marks the beginning of the end to Baal worship in Israel. Baal, of course, being a false god, and Elijah was instrumental in putting the prophets of Baal to shame, ultimately ordering their demise, their annihilation of existence. And so enter Jezebel. Jezebel, many of you will remember, was married to King Ahab, and she was the one who instilled allegiance and worship to the false god Baal in the first place. And when Elijah proved Baal to be false and ultimately embarrassed the heck out of the king and Jezebel and their prophets, Jezebel was furious. She was out for blood and wanted Elijah dead. And Elijah takes off and he's on the run for his life. And so 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1, read it along with me. And it reads like this. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Also, how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Verse number 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And prayed that he might die and said, it is enough now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank. And he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. Verse number 9, it says, and there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So Elijah said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone, Elijah says, I alone am left. And they seek to take my life. And then he goes on in verse 11, it says, then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. I know that was a lot. Y'all still with me? Now, I don't know if you caught it in our short reading here, but Elijah's life was filled with a lot of turmoil. Yes, there were times that Elijah was bold and decisive, like when he went up against the prophets of Baal. But there were other times Elijah was fearful and tentative. Elijah experiences moments of victory, but he also knows what defeat tastes like. Listen, Elijah knew both the power of God as well as the depths of depression. And really, what that is a recipe for a life of anxiousness. High moments and low moments, moments of exhilarating excitement and moments of feeling low, feeling numb one day, then feeling like you're on top of the world the next. How many of you can relate? Yeah, I know I can. I recently posted on my social media accounts, 2020 has made me so exhausted. Wake me up on January 1st, 2021 at 12 a.m. Man, this year has been extremely tough, hasn't it? I mean, we've had injustices as well as so many deaths to deal with, both in public and in our private lives. It's been crazy. But what we see in this short snippet of Elijah's life is an encouraging look of how we can persevere through those anxious moments in life. Come on, somebody. Y'all still with me? Because can I be honest? Anxiety is a part of our lives. Anxiety isn't going to magically disappear just because we have Jesus in our lives. Anxiety, unfortunately, is one of the results of the fall, and it's going to be a part of our lives until the day that we go on to be with the Lord. And listen, we can't simply ignore anxiety hoping that it'll go away someday, especially if you view anxiety from the perspective that Brian James mentioned earlier, in that it's our internal warning system letting our bodies know that something is off. See, I could understand how Elijah could have felt like God abandoned him when Elijah was on the run for his life. How many of you have ever felt that way? How many of you have ever felt that God had abandoned you, that God was absent specifically in your dark moments, in your low points in life, in your anxious moments? Because I know I have. I mean, Elijah, look, he just experienced an amazing win after he defeated the prophets of Baal. God showed up and put Baal to shame, and Elijah was living it up. He was living large. He was on top of the world, but almost in the blink of an eye, in the snap of a finger, Elijah's on the run for his life. I mean, in that moment, you know, how could things change so dramatically and so quickly for Elijah? Where was God in that moment? How in the world could God allow such drama to happen? And maybe these are some questions that you're asking, right? How many of you have asked that before God? Because again, I know I have. I know I have been in those moments where I would ask God where he was. Real talk. Can I be real this morning? So we had just planted a church in my previous assignment. And by all accounts, our first few months were extremely successful. We were a small Bible study and had just launched our Sunday services. Excitement was high. We were doing Laundry Love and serving the community in amazing ways. People were stepping up to lead. We had volunteership skyrocketed. But about 6 months into the church plant, I entered into a season of dark depression and the contemplation of suicide. And I told no one about it. And I'm not saying that depression and suicidal thoughts is always related to anxiety, but it is closely related. Our church was experiencing amazing forward movement, yet I felt like God was nowhere to be found while I was going through my anxiety and my depression. Quick side note, because this is extremely important. Listen, today is actually the beginning of National Suicide Prevention Week. And can I just say this? Don't underestimate how alone some people feel in any given moment, especially during this pandemic. Church, don't underestimate the dark places that many people are in right now. And as the church, specifically this week, can we all resolve to be more intentional about reaching out to people? Yeah? Can we be more intentional about encouraging others? Can we be more intentional about telling people that they are important and that they matter? Can we do that? And listen, if you're watching this and if you struggle with specifically depression and having suicidal thoughts, please know that you do matter. Please know that you are not alone. Life truly is worth living for, and you have something amazing to contribute. And in many ways, life won't be the same without you. And listen, if you want to connect and want to reach out, and if you need someone to talk to, I would encourage you to check out Brian James's resources that he shared earlier. DM the church, or you can even email me specifically, and we can connect with you, yeah? Can we do that? Because listen, it's extremely important. You are extremely important, amen? All right, listen. I get it. It's easy, right? In the context of our relationship with God, it's easy. It's easy for us in our moments of anxiety to think, man, what did I do, right? What did I do wrong? It's typical of us to think, listen, God is not with me because I did something for him to abandon me in those moments. What did I do? It's my fault, right? But can I just say this? And church, you need to hear me this morning when I say this. God never abandons us. Let that sink in for a second. God, he never abandons us. Jesus is present, yes, even in our anxiety. See, some of us need to say to ourselves right now that I may not have things under control, but I am in the hands of the one who does. Let me say that carefully again, right? When life gets overwhelming, when the pressures start mounting up, when our anxiety level is in the red, sometimes you just got to say to yourself, I may not have life under control right now, but I'm in the hands of the one who does. It's a powerful thing to remind ourselves of. And then from there, we have to trust God, as the scriptures tells us, that he's going to work things out for us. Why? Because he loves us. Listen, I don't know why it usually works out this way, but when we're experiencing the most success, it's usually then that challenging times emerge. Come on, somebody. But it's also in those exact moments, listen, where God's power, where God's peace, where God's providential shalom supersedes our anxiousness. And listen, God's peace is meant for our anxious moments. Amen? Y'all still with me? We good? All right, so back to Elijah. There are three things that I want to point out in our reading that's crucial for us to remember when we dip into our anxious moments in life. Number one, and listen closely, number one, don't underestimate the power of rest. I'll say it again, don't underestimate the power of rest. Beginning in verse 4, it says, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. And said, it is enough now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers," Elijah says. Then he lay, watch this, it says he slept under a broom tree. Again, verse 5 says, then he lay and he slept under a broom tree. Listen, there's power in resting. It's okay to take naps. It's okay to sleep. There is nothing wrong with taking time off. And if you remember the last time I preached, I spent a lot of time talking about the importance of taking time to be in solitude with the Lord, to allow him to pour into you, to go and spend some time with him in peace and in his presence, to process life a little bit. Especially in moments, and here's where it applies, especially in moments of anxiousness, it's okay to rest. It's okay to shut your brains off for a moment, and it's okay not to think. You know, these past few months with George Floyd, with Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and recently Jacob Blake, I've been in an extremely emotional wreck. You look throughout the pages of Scripture, and more specifically, the life of Christ, and justice is at the forefront of who God is. And when injustices toward human lives here in America continue to happen constantly, specifically to black lives, it gets a bit overwhelming to think about how we as believers can respond in godly ways. And as a follower of Jesus, I cannot just brush it aside. As a follower of Jesus, I know I have to do something about the injustices in our country. I may not know what that something is in a given moment, but I know I just need to do something. And I get so emotionally wrecked that my anxiety level rises. And to be honest, these past few months, I couldn't help but think about the many times that I've been profiled by the police in the past and how I've been treated unfairly by others. Listen, both in the church and outside of the church, by the way, just because of the color of my dark skin. But you know, one thing that has helped me when I've gotten super anxious and in these moments, it's rest. It's going to sleep. It's taking a nap. It's disconnecting. And then waking up feeling refreshed and rejuvenated. And if you want a spiritual term for what that is, listen, it's called Sabbath. It's called Sabbath. God designed us, listen, to rhythmically Sabbath because he knows that rest is important. And when we don't Sabbath well, our lives get thrown out of whack. We need time to regroup and to restart, especially in our moments of anxiousness. Elijah was deep in a moment of anxiousness, and there was nothing else that he could do but go to sleep. So number one, don't underestimate the power of rest. And then it continues. Suddenly, it says, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank, and he lay down again. The second thing we see here, when it comes to helping with anxiety, is Elijah ate cake. And I can almost hear some of y'all right now saying, amen to that. Bring on the cake. Give me some cake, Pastor. Preach, right? In other words, number two, it's okay to treat yourself. Say it with me, treat yourself. Not treat yourself, but treat yourself, right? It's okay. Elijah tells God that he wants to die. He's tired from running for his life. He's probably even tired from praying, Elijah says. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about, right? How many of you have ever fallen asleep during prayer? Don't lie, because you want to know how I know that some of you have fallen asleep during prayer? It's because I have. I've gotten so exhausted during seeking the Lord, I've fallen asleep, right? See, Elijah, he's exhausted from running. He's tired from praying. And then he falls asleep. And then listen, an angel then wakes up Elijah. And the first thing the angel says is, get up and eat. Like, the angel doesn't say, get up and go perform miracles. He doesn't say, go and read the scriptures. The angel doesn't tell Elijah to go and pray even more. The angel says, get up and eat. He says, get up and eat. And what does Elijah find sitting right next to his head? Right? What does Elijah find? Elijah finds a piece of cake. Right? A piece of gooey chocolate cake with moist, rich ganache dripping down the side. Elijah finds a mouth-watering red velvet cake with the most angelic cream cheese frosting, heavenly cheesecake with an amazing graham cracker crust. Excuse me, I'm getting carried away here with this cake. Sorry about that. Anyway, in the midst of a super hyper anxious moment, Elijah eats a piece of cake. And not only that, Elijah goes back to sleep. He wakes up and watch this. He eats another piece of cake. In other words, it's okay to treat yourself. But you want to know what this really is rooted in? This treating yourself? Jesus said in Matthew 22, quoting the Old Testament, by the way, Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God, say it with me, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Right? And then Jesus goes on to say, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor, but he doesn't stop there. He says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Listen, the great commandment isn't just about loving God and loving others. It's about loving God and loving others as we love ourselves. Loving ourselves in a godly way isn't selfish. Godly love of ourselves isn't being arrogant. In other words, we can't show love to others. We can't show godly love to others if we don't first have godly love for ourselves. And listen, treating ourselves from time to time is one way to help calm our anxiety. So if you need permission, go ahead and eat that cake, y'all. Ladies or men, go get your hair and nails did, right? Go get that, I don't know, those new pair of shoes that you've been eyeing for a month, right? For months, right? Of course, don't get yourselves into debt or anything like that, but it's okay to treat yourself. It's okay to love yourself, to allow godly love to renew you. And listen, treating ourselves isn't just a break glass in case of emergency type of thing. Treating ourselves just like resting should be rhythmic. And as we develop these rhythms, we'll find that our anxiety levels will slowly decrease. They may not go away, but they'll slowly become less and less, and we'll be able to cope with our anxiousness in more healthy ways. Amen? Y'all still with me? So Elijah finally gets up. He goes to the mountain of God. Elijah enters into a cave and spends the night there. Doing what? What does Elijah do? Yeah, you guessed it. He's resting again. Elijah then seeks God in that place after resting and treating himself. In other words, Elijah is refreshed. He's ready to hear from God, and Elijah finally is ready to do some godly business. And God meets Elijah in that place. So the third thing we see unfold in the life of Elijah during this season of anxiety is that he listened for God's voice and he obeyed. He listens for God's voice and he obeys. Elijah needed to regroup. He needed to rest. He needed to treat himself. Elijah needed a moment of solitude during a moment of anxiety. He needed a moment, listen, to breathe. And when he was done, Elijah was ready to seek out God, to hear from him. And Elijah was ready to obey. The passage tells us that Elijah, he has a very intimate conversation with God. In other words, he's praying. And in his prayer, Elijah was honest about where he was in life. And he didn't hold anything back. Elijah was lamenting being a megaphone for God, standing up to the prophets of Baal, because it only led him to running for his life. And the way the passage reads, if you look at it very carefully, we're left to believe that Elijah had an all-out yelling match with God, which is a great reminder for us that when we pray to the Lord, that it's okay in our moments of prayer to tell God exactly what's on our minds and in our hearts. We don't have to sugarcoat anything when we approach the Lord. We don't have to hold anything back when talking to God. If we don't think life is fair in any given moment, Folks, it's okay to tell him. I've had so many shouting matches with God this past season because of everything that's been going on. And in my moments, listen, of anxiety, I've questioned God to his face a lot. See, it's okay to be honest with God as long as we're seeking him. Amen? Now, don't get angry with God. Just seek him though, right? Our Foursquare president recently said this, if you want to worry less, then pray more. Right? Prayer, like Elijah in this moment, is our intimate conversations with God. And in our intimate conversations with God, specifically in our moments of anxiety, God then speaks. He gives us wisdom and insight. God gives us knowledge. He comforts us. He grants us peace. Listen, when we pray and seek God, he gives us instructions on how to move forward. And it's a powerful thing. And as the scripture beautifully articulates, in God's still small voice, in Elijah's moment of anxiety and his moment of uncertainty over his own life, God reassures Elijah of his own purpose, and he tells Elijah to go. Return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. I love that. Because as we know in the New Testament, Damascus is closely associated with Saul's transformation into Paul. And it's as if God was telling Elijah, you still matter. I'm still going to use you in mighty ways. You are a mighty prophet, God says to Elijah. You were a mighty prophet before, but watch me transform you into someone greater. So I want to close with this. And having said that, having said everything I just said, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount preached about being anxious for nothing. What Jesus does in the Sermon on the Mount is he gives us a spiritual answer to a very practical question. Listen, we're anxious because we have real needs and real concerns. And Jesus tells us not to be anxious. Why? Because God knows what we need. And despite how hard it is to do, we are supposed to have faith. Now, on the surface, this can look like a cop-out, right? But this is what faith is. Faith is learning to trust God when we would rather trust ourselves. But listen, Jesus, he doesn't stop there. Instead, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Matthew 6, verse 33. See, in my dark early moments of that first year of our church plant, when life was pressing in, causing all sorts of anxiety, these words of Jesus, quite honestly, were far from my memory. My inclination in the midst of anxiety wasn't to seek first the kingdom, but it was to shelter in place, to try to solve my own problems or to just pretend it wasn't happening. I tried to sweep my depression under the rug. And I think that's exactly what Jesus is speaking to. Most of us will struggle with some measure of anxiety throughout our lives. But in the midst of our brokenness, Jesus is calling us to fix our eyes on him and on his kingdom that is to come. Listen, God loves us deeply, and he has the power to answer our prayers and to provide for our needs. And when anxiety is bearing down on us, God wants us to reach for him. He wants us to rest. He wants us to take care of ourselves, to treat ourselves from time to time. He wants us to seek him and then obey when he speaks. Why? Because God knows. Because God sees us. Because God cares. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for a new month. We thank you for life. God, and as hard as life can be, we thank you, God, that you've given us breath. And I pray that we would be wise as to how we breathe, how we live, how we treat others, how we engage in public discourse, how we engage in love of others as we love ourselves. And God, I feel like someone truly needs to be reminded this morning that they are truly loved, that they are not alone, that they don't have to do life by themselves. And my prayer is that whomever's watching, whether they're officially a member of our church or tuning in from the outside, that they would hear these words, that they are loved, that they are not alone, that it's okay to embrace their anxiety in godly ways. And so, God, what I do pray right now is a rebuke over that spirit of depression and the spirit of darkness, that you, God, would overcome and help folks overcome their anxiety, that they can actually listen for the warning signs within them, godly warning signs, cueing them in on things that are off so that they can seek you and run to you. God, may we learn to rest better. May we treat ourselves, God, and then may we seek you and obey when you speak. And so, God, thank you again for this day. We praise you and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. And all of God's people say, amen. God bless you as you go.